The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is by Walter Pendleton. Visit us on the website at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that is www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
I'm going to read just one verse this morning as a text, and I will read that one verse from Paul's epistle to the saints at Rome, Romans chapter 4 and verse 8. Listen to what Paul says there. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Do you hear that? Let me read it again. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I speak this morning to everyone who is groaning under the heavy burden of their sin. I speak this morning to all who are oppressed under the weight of your crimes against the thrice holy God. I speak to all whose conscience screams out in every fiber of its being. It cries out within your very heart, mind, and soul, I am guilty before God. I say to you this morning, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Think on that this morning. Isn't that a glorious thought to even merely consider, let alone think that this could it be true? This could be true of me? Could it be true of me? First of all, of course the Lord does not impute sin where sin does not literally exist. That would be unjust and cruel. Some think themselves to be without sin. I understand that. Or some think that sin is some archaic teaching of some antiquated religion. I understand that. But according to our Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't even come into the world to save people like that. That's right. Does that surprise you to hear a preacher say something like that? Listen to our Lord's own words. I say, Christ did not come into this world to call people of that ilk. That's those who think that they're without sin or that sin is some archaic teaching of some antiquated religion. Listen to our Lord Jesus Christ's words in Matthew chapter 9. Listen to verse 10. And it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Do you hear those words? Isn't that a glorious thing? It is for those who know their crimes against God. It is for those who knows the utter corruption of their being before God. You see, those who boast in themselves, according to our Lord Jesus Christ again, those who boast in themselves, they'll find no justification. Hear our Lord's words in Luke chapter 18, and I'll begin in verse 9. And he, this is speaking of Christ, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now notice they trusted in themselves that they were righteous. No, granted, they truly weren't righteous, but they thought they were righteous. They considered themselves to be righteous. They tried to show everybody else that they were righteous. This is what our Lord said. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. That's, according to our Lord, that's the way the publican pray. But listen to this other one, the Pharisee. But then he says, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, that is the publican, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, that is, rather than the Pharisee. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So you see that while some may think that they're without sin, and some may think sin is some kind of archaic teaching of some antiquated religion, we see that they therefore place themselves outside of the realm of those for whom Christ came to save. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And it's those who cry out for mercy, who cries out for mercy from God, that finds justification before God. You see, the salvation of sinners, hear me, hear what I say, the salvation of sinners is the crescendo of the gospel of Christ. The apostle Paul said it in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, or the prototype, the archetype. Oh, to know your sinful condition before a thrice holy God. Oh, to know the corruption that is within me by nature. So again, I say, the salvation of sinners, the salvation of sinners, not righteous people, not religious people, not people who think themselves righteous, but the salvation of true, bona fide, 100% sinners, the salvation of sinners is the crescendo of the gospel of Christ. I speak this morning to those who know and feel their corruption. If you are angered, offended by my words about sin this morning, then it's true. I'm not speaking to you this morning. Pray God that He changed that within your soul. But if you think yourselves to be something, if you think yourself to be righteous, then these words are not for you this morning. But I have words to those who know their corruption. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You see, there is a man who is blessed of the Lord. You hear that? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I may impute it to you. I may look at you and I may say things I shouldn't. I may look at you and I may judge, or I may even condemn you. But blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You see, God purposed, and God Almighty gave oath that He would save a people. Did you know that? Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13, down a few verses. Listen, verse 13 of Hebrews 6. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after that he, that is, that Abraham, had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men, verily, swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly, to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. Which hope we have, as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. So you see, there's a people that God swore in covenant oath before Abraham. He swore that there would be a blessing of the people. God purposed and gave oath to bless the people. But not only that, God the Son promised specific blessing to some. In Matthew chapter 5, in what men call the Beatitudes, in verse 6, our Lord Jesus said these blessed words, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness." Why? Because they don't have it. They want it. They know they need it, but they don't have it. "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness." And my question is, why? Why is a person blessed because they hunger and thirst after righteousness? Our Lord gives us the answer. "For they shall," do you hear that? "For they shall be filled." So God Almighty purposed, and he gave oath to bless the people. And God the Son, when he came into this world, promised specific blessing to those who hungered and thirsted after righteousness. This blessing doesn't come on the sinless. Listen to it. It doesn't come upon the sinless, but the sinful. Again, back to my text in Romans chapter 4. Listen to the immediate preceding verse. Verse 7, saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven." They have iniquities, but they're forgiven. "And whose sins are covered." They have sins, but they're covered. So again, saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered." So God purposed and gave oath to bless the people. God the Son promised specific blessing to those who hungered and thirst after righteousness. And this blessing comes not on sinless people, but upon sinful people. Oh, what a glory it is. "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." So, of course, God doesn't impute sin where sin does not literally exist. But remember, there are those who think themselves righteous. God Almighty doesn't deal with them in this mercy and grace and forgiveness and compassion. But on those who know their utter corruption, there's hope. There's a promised hope, a sure hope, a real hope, and that hope is summarized in this: "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." You see, the Lord, think of it, think on this, the Lord will not impute sin to this blessed man. Let me read my text again, just verse 8. "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." You see, the Lord refuses to impute sin. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that amazing? It is to a sinner, to a true, bona fide, 100% sinner. That's such a glorious thing that the Lord refuses to impute sin. "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." In other words, God refuses to put sin, though it truly, literally exists in that person. The Lord refuses to put sin to that man's account. You see, the Lord has willed his sovereign will, his almighty will, his immutable will. The Lord has willed not to put this man's sin to this man's account. Oh, what a glory it is to this sinner to read such words. Oh, what a glory it is to this sinner that's preaching to you this morning. What a glory it is to this sinner to know that just may it be, could it be, that I may be one of these men here. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You see, it is the Lord's choice, not mine, not yours. It is the Lord's choice. It is the Lord's will, not yours, not mine. It is the Lord's choice. It is the Lord's will. It is the Lord's decision, not yours, not your decision, not mine. It's the Lord's choice. It's the Lord's will. It's the Lord's decision. It's the Lord's volition. Here it is. It is that he will not charge this man with the very sins of which this man is guilty. Oh, what a glory that is to me. What a hope that brings and rushes in within my soul. Could it be that I am one that I am one like this man? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So again, I say, it is the Lord's choice. It is the Lord's will. It is his decision. It is his volition that he will not charge this man with the very sins of which this man is guilty. But here, I think, is a very important question. And who is such a man that is so blessed of the Lord? Who is such a man? A believer? Yes. Yes, it is a believer. That's clearly in the context, a believer. But a believer in God? Yes. A believer in Christ? That's what the preponderant testimony of Scripture says. But before we look at that, let's note a couple things. First of all, who is such a man as so blessed of the Lord? Well, first of all, Paul states it negatively. Negatively. In other words, it is not the man who exerts human effort. Now, listen to chapter 4 and verse 1. What shall we then say that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? So see, it's negatively, it's not the man who exerts human effort. It's not about the flesh. The flesh constitutes everything that I am by nature. The flesh constitutes everything that you are by nature, our intellect, our affections, and our will. But the Apostle Paul begins by saying, what shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is nothing. When it comes to our intellect, when it comes to our affections, when it comes to our will, we gain God's favor by none of this. We cannot simply will that God will not. It is, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So negatively stated, again, it's not the man who exerts human effort. Negatively again, no human effort, according to the Apostle Paul here, no human effort ever gives a man a boast before God. Then listen to verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, what does he mean? Human effort. The effort of the flesh. That's the context. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. So negatively, it's not the man who exerts human effort. Negatively, it's not human effort. No human effort ever gives a man boast before God. But what is it positively? Positively, it is believing God. Believing God. Here's what it is. Here's what it is positively. Believing God is counted unto the believer for righteousness. Listen to verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God. He didn't just believe in God, but Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So again, let me stress negatively, it is not the man who exerts human effort. That's not the one that's blessed here. Negatively also, no human effort ever gives a man boast before God. But positively, believing God is counted unto the believer for righteousness. But Paul didn't stop there. Again, he gives another negative. And notice, isn't it amazing? He gives these three negatives as opposed to just the one positive. Negatively again, grace is not God rewarding human effort, for that would indebt God. Look at it. Verse 4, for to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. You know, according to the Apostle Paul, let me turn to it, Romans chapter 11. Listen to what he says in Romans chapter 11 in verse 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise work is no more work. You see, again negatively, grace is not God rewarding human effort, for that would indebt God. Now listen to me. Listen closely. Believing God, hear what I say? Believing God is no human effort. Does that strike you? Have you ever heard a preacher say that believing God is no human effort? And we'll give you four things here about believing God. Listen to the word of God. This is Acts chapter 13 and verse 48. Men believe by God Almighty's ordination. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. This is what the Holy Scripture teaches. Believing is not a human effort. Believing is not by human will. Believing is not a human work. It's a divine action of grace and mercy wrought in the soul of a sinner by the free and reigning grace of God. Men believe by God's ordination. And according to the Apostle Paul, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 20, the same power that wrought Christ's resurrection is what works believing in the heart, mind, and soul of an individual. Let me turn to you and just read that passage. It's Ephesians chapter 1, and listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Ephesians 1 and verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Do you see it? You believe according to the working of his mighty power. What kind of mighty power? Well, he answers it in verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So again, I say to you, I say to everyone that hears my voice, believing God is not a human effort. Men believe by God's ordination. The same power that wrought Christ's resurrection works believing in the heart, mind, and soul of an individual. And thirdly, here's the third thing. It is not man's effort in believing, it is God's work. The Apostle Paul makes it clear in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, For it is God. He's speaking to believers. He wrote to believers. The Philippian epistle was to believers. He said, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So there's the three things so far. Men believe by God's ordination. The same power that wrought Christ's resurrection is the same power it takes to bring a person to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not man's effort in believing. It is God's work. It's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But here's number four, faith. According to Paul in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, faith is God's free, sovereign gift. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. The grace is not of yourself. The faith is not of yourself. The salvation is not of yourself. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The grace is the gift of God. The faith is the gift of God. The salvation overall is the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and even, it says, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, those who boast in their faith, these do not have the faith of God's elect. Human faith boasts in itself. Yes, there is such a thing as human faith, but human faith is not the one. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Those who boast in their faith, these do not have the faith of God's elect. Human faith boasts in itself. God-given faith boasts only in God. According as is written, let him that glorieth, let him glory where? Let him glory in the Lord. You see, human faith has itself as its object. God-given faith has God as the object. Again in my text, Romans 4, verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So then, we have come full circle back to my text. And how does the scripture summarize this truth? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Listen how Paul kind of summarizes it up in chapter 4 and verse 16. Listen to what he says. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom we believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. You see, there is a seed. There is a seed that God has purposed to save. There is a seed that God swore in covenant oath to Abraham, I'll save that seed. There is a seed, and the promise is sure to all the seed. This seed is receiving this promise by grace through faith. Now, you hear that? This is the scripture terminology. This is the scriptural language. This seed is receiving the promise by grace through faith, not vice versa. It is not by faith through grace. You don't come up with faith, and I don't come up with faith to get God's grace. God's grace ushers in faith. It gives faith. It brings faith into being in the heart, mind, and soul of an individual. So there is a seed, and the promise is sure to them. This seed is receiving the promise by grace through faith. And thirdly, God must quicken before any will ever believe. That's what the Apostle Paul refers to. God must quicken before any will ever believe. You see, when God quickens, the quickened will believe God. You hear what I said? When God quickens, those who are quickened will believe God. And that kind of believer, you hear what I said? And that kind of believer is the man that's blessed. Blessed, is it? Hear it? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Has he quickened you? How do I know? I don't boast in my faith. My faith looks to Christ. I can't boast in myself. I look to Christ. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Come hear Christ preached.